Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims hair loss solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride, minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, they got spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, no insurance is needed. And one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinkingbros. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We have one of the all-time greats on the show.
Oh, yeah. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. How's your fuck game, Chuck? Is it good?
What's up?
Yeah, your fuck game.
Oh, it's pretty good.
No hesitation.
I don't know why you're asking. I don't swing that way.
We know, but it's for the audience. Look, I'm married, you're married. You get it, but it's for the audience. They want to know that Chuck's fuck game is still great.
Yeah, yeah.
Still the top of its game.
Important, yeah.
It's still good. Yeah. So all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Big fan of
still,
that.
Again, though. Not sure why you're asking.
But. Well, here's the thing. When you're with a couple gentlemen, such as ourselves, right, and we're drinking Frescas,
I'm trying to talk about something manly.
I think that's just how he chose to.
So you get a little awkward when you're around guys.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: we're all drinking seltzers because it's watching calories or whatever. Like, it's one of those things.
Is that where, these are seltzers. Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Because here's the deal: you look like you could still go out and tear somebody's face off in the ring today. How are you staying in shape?
Just training. I still do the same stuff. I mean, I like. Hitting a bag is probably my favorite way to work out, and that or wrestling. So it just makes it. I still lift a little bit, but mostly I hit the bag here and there.
Yeah, because look, we see a lot of these fights, in particular the older fighters, man, are coming back. So Mike Tyson is fighting again. All these guys are fighting again. So when I watched the Tyson fight, I looked at Roy Jones and I was like, he looks a little out of shape. Whereas Mike Tyson dropped 60 pounds to get in shape, and it was like, oh, well, he could. He looks like he could kill somebody still.
Oh, he hitting the bag and hitting the mitts up, man. He looked vicious. Yeah. Like, my biggest disappointment from that whole fight was really just they didn't really have a walkout. Like, he didn't do it. Like, I miss the old, Tyson walkouts were awesome.
It's even weird.
When boxing was like, if you didn't know who the heavyweight champion was, you weren't a guy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like now, like who's the heavyweight champion?
It might be Tyson. It might be Wilder. It might be Fury. One of those, where, for real, where you're just, you don't really know. And like as a kid, it's interesting you bring out the opening music because as a kid, I remember it to this day where Mike was coming out to Chains. Remember it was just like Chains slamming on a ground?
Yeah.
He didn't even have a fight song, some of the fights. And you were like,
what the fuck am I getting
into?
Yeah,
as good a job as Dana's done about keeping UFC on it, it's weird seeing the guys walk out with no fans and stuff. I mean, it's still bizarre to me to see that.
Yeah,
although for the most part, the other sports I feel like are suffering from it. UFC is not, because it's still all contained in the ring, and it added an extra element where you can hear the corner guys now.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. Yeah,
yeah,
and you know that reminds me of a fight in Japan. Like, because I tell that story a lot of times, because Japan, like the fans while you're fighting don't make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you pass guard, they're really educated fans. Like if you pass the guard, they'll actually go ooh.
Wow.
And then stop.
But you can talk to your corner while you're fighting in Japan.
Wow.
It's like with 18 in front of 18, I fought in front of 18,000 people there, and you can talk to your corner
while
you're fighting.
What was it, for Strike Force or K1 or something like that?
No, it was Pride.
Pride.
Pride. Yeah.
I fought over there, what, 1, 2, 3 times?
No. Look, enough to get it 3 times in the back of your head. Was that what it's for?
No, that's my original karate style, Koikon.
Mm. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's what we put on our gis when you get your black belt.
Because you know I have Asian writing tattooed on myself as well.
You're telling me a little bit too much about you.
Yeah. You want to see it?
No.
We're gonna show Chuck live on air. You ready?
If you,
it just says Asian writing, in English though.
In English, it says Asian writing.
That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Chuck's filing a fucking sexual harassment lawsuit right now. Can somebody get my agent on the phone?
Well, his, like, you actually studied what you do or whatever. Mine was more or less to make fun of, like, hipsters who were, like, getting all this, you know, Asian writing on them. They weren't
I think it's the funniest thing. Like, people are like, I'll take number 8.
Yes.
Like, what?
The fuck does that even mean?
Like, why would you put a tattoo on you that doesn't mean something to you? Like, it's on there permanently. You got that?
Permanently
on you. So why, if it doesn't mean, like, it's got to mean, like, for me, it meant something to me. It's a long story, but I was just like, it was kind of one of the things, they were stripping me of my black belt and me basically telling, fuck you, I earned it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take it from me. So that was it was kind of
so like an let's get into it then. So you started out, a lot of guys from early UFC came out of wrestling, but you came out of some form of like stand-up
not
martial
really
art, karate.
Well, I started doing karate when I was 12. I started doing wrestling when I was 14. I wrestled in high school and college. I was division one wrestler, and then I went on to doing, when I was done wrestling, I started competing in kickboxing. You know, and I was a mediocre wrestler. I got hurt my senior year. I barely made it back for finals. I did okay. I didn't do great. I mean, let's put it this way. Like Kevin Randleman, we wrestled the same weight in college. He was at Ohio State when he was a national champ.
Yes.
The same year I was 9-12.
Yeah.
But I was 9-12. You know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, for Division I, it's not easy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was really a hard guy to score on. I wasn't easy to score on. I just wasn't really good at scoring points either.
Yeah.
So that didn't help. But so then I went to kickboxing from there to keep competing. And then somewhere along the line, someone asked, hey, you want to do a mixed fight? Mm-hmm. I heard you wrestled. Sure. So I actually back in that day, it was, you know, most guys came from one thing, from wrestling or striking or jujitsu.
Right.
And they came in and they had to learn the other two disciplines.
Right. Yeah.
But you'd already had two.
I had
kind
two.
Of experience,
I came in with, I was a striker. I mean, I had 16 knockouts in kickboxing. Right. I was 20-2. Mm-hmm. I had 16 KOs in kickboxing. And then I came in with striking and wrestling.
Right.
And then, you know, it's funny. There was a little time in the beginning where he's a wrestler killer, you know, go out and, because he's killing wrestlers. But that was because I was a wrestler. I just used it different. I was doing the sprawl and brawl. Like I sprawl and knock out. And part of that reason for that was I thought that was the best place for me to finish a fight. Like, I could finish fights on my feet. I can knock you out. Like, I like knocking you out.
Like, there's less, you're using less energy. You're not rolling around on the ground for 3.5 minutes and then finally somebody.
Yeah, when it's more exciting.
It's also
And here's the thing. Well, the thing I did, I think one of the things I did really well back then was I had to learn jiu-jitsu, right? Mm. Right when I learned it, I spent most of my time working on getting out of bad positions and standing back up.
Right.
Like, people would show me stuff on how to sweep, and I go, wait, halfway through that sweep, I can just pull my leg out, and I'm up. Yeah. I'm out. But they don't teach that.
So you were watching tape on yourself.
And I wasn't tape on myself, and I was watching a buddy of mine, Mark Lehman gave me this tape called a Half Guard Remix. Mm-hmm. And it was this guy's doing half guard stuff and new sweeping guys and doing stuff. And I'm like looking at it, and I'm going, wait. Like I kept looking at it and going, man, if I just pulled my leg out right there, I'm standing up and I'm free and I can punch him again. And I think even to this day, still with a lot of fighters, it's hard to get guys get stuck in tunnel vision when they start fighting. Yeah. So they start fighting. And like I got one of my buddies at K1. He's a K1, fought in the K1, great, great fighter, great kickboxer. Started doing MMA, started fighting Strikeforce. Mm-hmm. And he would get a guy to shoot in, he'd sprawl, and then he'd body lock the guy. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Using a lot of
let
energy.
Let go.
Yeah. You're using a lot of energy.
What are you going to do with a body lock? You don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Push off, get away from him, hit that guy.
Yeah.
Stop trying to wrestle. And I even saw one time he dropped to a single. But what are you doing? Yeah. You don't know how to finish a single.
Well, you got a lot of your knockouts during that separation. Like the bang up, then you push out and knock the guy out.
And that was a lot of the stuff I did was like, was mixing the two together. Like getting guys I could. And I fought Overeem in Pride. Mm. I went out and fought Overeem. You know what? If I fought him in a straight kickboxing match back then, he would have beat me, most likely. He was a better straight kickboxer than I was.
Right.
But when I took him down, I went out there and I took him down right away, made him worry about me taking him down. Mm. Now, I had him guessing whether or not I'm going to take him down or go, and I caught him with a straight right, and then I caught him with an overhand, and then finished him with
that high leg kick. Kind of gets neutralized if he's worried about you coming in his leg.
Yeah, and as soon as I took him down, he doesn't, now he's a little, and then he freezes you up a little bit, and it allowed me.
Even that split second is enough.
Yeah, right? you do that split second to freeze you up a little bit, so now I can get off on you. And so, you know, it's being able to go between the styles was one of the things that made me really good in the beginning, because I was able to be able to.
Well, also, it's not just the style though. Obviously, you were doing a lot of homework. Like a lot, working out is one thing, but working out like strategizing and using tape
and
is
being,
a whole thing.
Being creative. I mean, like for me, like because Scott Adams is one of my partners, and he was a really good leg lock guy. Mm. And he'd rolled in knee bars really well. Mm. And I figured out with that same thing, I'm in the middle of doing that, I saw that, and I'm trying to go to that knee bar, but I don't really like doing knee bars too much, because then you're stuck in leg lock war with people. And I get halfway there, and I'm like, oh, wait, I can hip heist out. I just have to pull my leg out. Yep. Now I'm standing with his leg up here. I can either take him down or just push him off and kick him. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was like one of the things that for me, I was able. There wasn't many guys that could stay on top of me at all, and I just go back and forth. I mean, I was friends with Rico Rodriguez back then. He was Abu Dhabi champ.
Yeah.
One of those years, and in a heavyweight, and he couldn't stay on top of me. We trained together. He couldn't stay on top of me. We do 5 minutes just wrestling, no striking, but he couldn't stay on top of me.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk this in depth about your strategy behind your fighting, to be honest.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure you have in some places. I've never heard this before. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah, well, for me, the biggest thing what I did is I came into the UFC I went straight into UFC pretty much. Mm-hmm. I fought one mixed fight and then fought in the UFC. So I was at the top. And part of my reason for the way I learned jiu-jitsu was I didn't have time to get good enough to beat anybody at that level by submission.
Right.
Like I'm not going to submit most guys at that level unless I rocked them first.
Right.
Unless they're not all there.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm not going to submit them, but I learned, but I also knew, like wrestling, people always ask me how to stop a takedown. To stop a takedown, it's not simple. It's not a simple answer.
Right.
You have to understand takedowns. If you're a good wrestler, I need to understand where you're going, what you want to do, because you're gonna go back and forth. You're gonna switch back and forth. You're gonna switch to single, switch to double. You're gonna counter what I counter, right?
Yeah.
So I need to know what you want, and if you're setting me up, I need to know what you're doing to set me up, how you're setting me up. So I feel the same way with submissions. I have to understand the submission, know what you want to do, know how you're trying to get there, what you need me to do to make the submission work. So if I understand all that, even if I'm not good enough to really get it on somebody that at the top level, I still know what you're trying to do.
Right.
So now I can defend it.
Yeah. And
but if I don't understand it at all, like when I got Jeremy Horn got me with that arm triangle. Mm-hmm. Now I still argue. Big John, because I asked Big John, we joke about it sometimes. I'm a Big John. So you said I went out before the bell, right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck didn't you stop it before the bell?
Yeah.
If I was out before the bell, why didn't you stop it before the bell? Because the bell rang.
Yeah.
And then you stopped it. So how do you call me out before the bout?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
my, what was his explanation?
I just kind of laughed.
He said, let's get it on.
Yeah, let's get on. Let's go. Let's go.
He never really gave me an answer. So, I think I saw stars after the thing, but I've done that before wrestling.
Right.
I went the wrong way, getting out of a headlock, stood up and looked at a guy. If you knew I was looking at him and seeing stars, he would have been, and I saw stars after that fight, but I don't know. But anyway, I got a rematch, so it's fine. What I was getting at, the arm triangle, like, I just didn't know what he had. I didn't know he had anything. I thought he was just holding on to me, like a lot of guys hold on. I didn't know he had something. And I just sat, I had 10 seconds left. I knew the time. So we had overtime, possibly an overtime.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like, I'll just sit here. I'll wait. And, you know, got tighter and tighter.
So you're saying the reason you learned jiu-jitsu just so you could not necessarily learn the moves, but identify them being used against you.
I want to learn them. I learned them really well. I just wasn't slick enough at them to set up a guy at the top level.
Okay.
Yeah. Like at a UFC level. So I wasn't going to waste a lot of time trying to get you to submit you down there because it's not good. So, but I did learn how to get off the bottom, and that's all I worked on. I worked on bad positions. I got a guy starting to mount, starting side control, so I could get up. And that paid off for me well, you know. And it's funny, like I'd start doing stuff, like I still knew the stuff. I was rolling with Alistair before in Holland before I fought him a long time before I fought him. And a couple years, I was rolling with him one time. It was pretty funny. He goes, I was going, so I went for, I swept him and went for an arm bar. I missed the arm bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, I thought you were a kickboxer. And then going again, I swept him again and went for a triangle and I missed it. He goes, man, you don't have submission on the video game. I just started laughing. I'm like, you know, like I came here with, you know, I did come here with John Lewis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu coach. That's who I had come to Holland with. I came with him. I'm here with him. I put two and two together. Yeah. I know jiu-jitsu. And I've been doing, I tell you, people still to this day, like are so shocked that I know jiu-jitsu. I'm like,
I'm shocked.
I started in 97.
Really?
Jiu-jitsu, 1997.
Here's why
I've been
shocked.
Doing it for that long. I've had a purple belt for about the last 15 years.
I have an answer for this. I have an answer of why I'm shocked and everybody else is shocked. Okay. When you started, you seem like, I was a bouncer in college, right? When you came into the ring, you came in like a bouncer out of a bar. I did not know you had any training whatsoever. I just thought you were the biggest badass in the world.
And no one knew what knocking people the fuck MMA out. Was then.
We didn't. Well, none of us knew what it was.
You know what? That really helped me out because I never had anybody like people come up and try to chest you at a bar. I said, nah, you know, the thing is, I know guys, boxers have that problem. Mm. Football players, like wrestlers, guys that are wrestlers, like Matt Hughes, a buddy of mine, he had guys that do that to him. Guys are jiu-jitsu guys. But I said, the thing is, they look at me as like, that's a street fighter. He's a brawler.
Yes,
he's a brawler.
Yes.
He's a brawler with heavy hands.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you've and got I some fucking look,
and
I look mitts
at right? He's a brawler with heavy hands. And to really, really, those assholes that would do that,
yeah,
most of them are fans of mine anyway.
Yes, and true. So,
that's funny.
They like me. So,
by the way, and this is how I came to know about you personally, was I was a bouncer at Ohio State. A lot of fights in the bar, whatever. There was one night where I didn't stop the fight. It was Kevin Randleman. He came in.
Like five dudes tried to fight him?
Seven.
Seven?
Okay. Seven dudes tried to fight him. He was hitting on somebody's girlfriend or whatever it was, blah, blah, blah. He tore them apart in a way that I've never seen in person. He also did a move where he grabbed this guy's love handle and pinched as hard as he could. I mean, to the point, this guy was... It was
the
black.
Grip on some of these wrestlers. I mean, like
yes.
Matt Hughes used to goof around and grab you. I'm like, ow!
He's got big hands for a dude.
Yeah,
like he's 5'9" or something like that. He's got some fucking gorilla mitts on him.
Yeah,
what's up with that guy?
So with Randleman, like you know, the manager came up to me and was like, "Hey man, you gonna do anything?" And I go, "No. Do you see what's going on? Absolutely not. I'm not doing anything. Like it's Kevin Randleman's tearing people's faces off." And at that point, I think he had just beat Gracie. To win the title, and it was like, who is this huge black guy with blonde hair, and you know, it was starting to get really big, and I was like, oh shit. So that's when I started getting into it, and then I saw you. And for all of us who were working at bars, like all over Columbus, Ohio at that point, we loved you because you seemed like one of us, where it was just like,
well, the funny thing with that is I was a bartender for almost 9 years.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. 8 to 9 years. I worked on bars forever.
But you never got into any fights there, right?
You know, the funny thing is not a lot. The funny thing, not a lot, because when I did, it was,
Yeah, yeah.
We took guys out and they
didn't last
long. Like, didn't last long. But like the funny thing is, like, I was able, the nice thing about it, because I was I was a door guy for about a year, and I became a bartender at Barback and a bartender because they got paid better.
Of course.
So, but I'd be behind the bar and I'd just throw ice at guys. The guys would be like starting a fight, and I just throw ice at them. Hey, you that way.
You're like that way. You're like the old Italian bartender. It's like, hey, break it up out there.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, no, it's not happening. Go.
How long have you had the mohawk and the goatee?
92.
Okay, so good, there you go. If I saw you, because you look very similar, right? The first time you got out of the car yesterday, I go, oh, holy shit, it's still Chuck O'Dell. You've not aged. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. You've not aged, nothing. You're have been Chuck O'Dell since the 90s to now, and it's the same fucking dude, right?
Well, if I
saw you in a bar in 92, I would not fuck with Chuck O'Dell still. Like, even just based on your looks.
I got well known from that, because it was easy to recognize. Like, back then, even like people that were fans would be like, and put the tattoo on the side and put it away, because I see him looking at me and they go, I see him go.
Yeah.
Just to verify.
Yeah.
So you got
now
that.
I get that sometimes now with the mask now, because I got the mask on. I'd be like,
see, just look around the corner. Yeah.
Oh, it's still Chuck O'Dell. Yeah.
It's still here. It's over.
You're the one guy with a mask on, and it's like, it's still Chuck O'Dell.
Yeah. Well, in 05, so you win the light heavy title, right? Yeah. What the hell was that like? Because Randy at the time, I feel like he was a legend already by then, right? Yeah. He was a legend already. So well, you take him down.
He beat me.
Yeah.
And
like what, 2-3 years earlier, something like that?
No, about a year. I think it was a year earlier. 2003, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So 2 years earlier. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
I got back, and it's funny thing about that is after I lost that fight, I was so upset. About, and I always watch my films afterwards. I don't like watching me fight, but I watch my films as a coach.
How quickly, by the way, do you go back that night to the hotel and look at it?
No, when I get home. Look, like I usually go out, and I did not go out. I went back to my hotel room, and I drove home the next day.
Right. After a loss, for sure.
After that. Well, and usually even after a loss, my guys put in a lot of work. I go out and go out with them because it's different. If I go out with them, they have a good time. I don't go out with them, it's like a normal night.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like I owed him that. But that I was crushed by that fight. But not because of that, because I let Tito off the hook.
Right.
It had nothing to do with Randy. I respected him. Funny thing is, when he got the call to fight me, he was at my gym.
Really? No way.
Oh, yeah. And I thought, and I overheard it, I thought he was talking about fighting Gann, because he was still heavyweight. Yeah. Right? So I thought he was fighting Gann McGee. So I'm like, hey, keep Gann away from him. Don't let him train with Randy. So... And I'm like, and the funny thing is, like, I told one of his guys one of my tricks for getting people, like, because I used to go in a half guard when guys are on top of me, and I let them pass, and so they'd slide across, and as soon as they go to pass, put a leg real quick, I'm ready for it, so I just hip iced real hard, and I was able to, and guys all the time do that, and they go, oh, damn it,
because
they don't take it. So in the fight, I actually at one point put my leg down and tried to set him up that way. And he didn't bite, and I'm like, that motherfucker. I sat there in the fight thinking, the motherfucker.
You don't let him come back and train at your gym anymore? Like, get the fuck out of
here. Yeah, you're like, hey, man, you gotta go. You gotta go.
But that was it. But I didn't watch the fight.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, so we went, and leading up to that fight, I tore my MCL about 8 weeks out. And
eight
weeks before the fight.
Shit.
But I was healed 100% by the fight. But the problem was I didn't wrestle leading up to the fight. I'd pummel and do that stuff, but I wouldn't wrestle. And so my timing was off and my conditioning was off for that, which is what I think happened in the first fight. So fast forward to when I'm getting ready for the fight, we go to watch the film, sit down. It's the first time. I couldn't get myself to watch it. Never watched it. Finally, I go out there and we're all sitting together to watch the fight. We got 3 minutes into the first fight, and I stood up. I'm gonna knock him out. I'm out. I'm done. I left the room. I got this, guys. No problems. Let's go. I'm ready. And I just said, look, I was watching the thing. I watched it, and I'm like, I got it. And we went out, and I went out and knocked him out.
What was it that you saw that you knew?
Like I was something, some weakness. And gassed by 3 minutes in, mm-hmm. and he was shooting. The way he was shooting is a way that you can't. He shouldn't have taken me down.
Right.
There's no way he should have been able to take me down with that shot. And if he tries that shot, it's never going to work. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for him to finish that. So, the fact my just reaction time was so off, mm-hmm. and my thing. So when we came back, it was just, you know, I went out and I caught him and got him, you know, and nothing against that fight. I was healthy and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, I was ready to box. Like kickboxing, I could have done. I think I could have done five rounds.
Yeah,
well, rounds, full speed kickboxing. Yeah. But once we started wrestling, I just gashed really well, and I actually learned it's something I always tell people, and it's a good lesson for people. I always tell people, don't show you're tired. Don't give that to the guy. Don't ever let that guy see mm-hmm. you tired. And I, at the end of the third round, I was in my corner just looking like a mess. Mm-hmm. Like I was done. And I heard the story. He was too, because when he was feeling the same way in his corner, and Henderson said, "Hey, look at Chuck. He's done. Go push him. You got this." Mm. And that's what gave him the energy to do it. And I'm like, I used to do that to people all the time.
Yeah.
I feed off you being tired.
Right.
If I see you tired, you are screwed.
Yeah, that's predator.
As soon as I see you tired, I'm like,
yeah.
I forget every ounce of tiredness I have, and I'm like, yes, he's tired. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. And you ended up defending the title four times. Another time against Randy, a year later.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that because I knocked out, a lot of people thought, it was a fluke. He knocked him out.
No,
I
KO on a punch the second time. Yeah,
I gotta do it again mm-hmm. and prove it wasn't a fluke.
And you beat Sobral, Ortiz, and Jeremy again.
Yeah,
not Jeremy Horn. Jeremy Horn's a friend of ours. He's
a friend of ours.
He's in a lot of stuff with Black Bottom.
Good dude.
He quit. He's a tough son of a bitch.
I'll
tell you a story about that one. Matt Hughes told me after the first round, he came back to the corner, and the doctor was, "Hey, you all right? You all right?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine." Mm. All right, and the doctor leaves, and he goes, "You all right?" Matt goes, "Yeah, you all right? I'm seeing three of them." That's like, yeah, I told him just hit the one in the middle.
Yeah.
But like the reason he called it off in the fourth round, he couldn't. Right. He saw, "I can't see."
Yeah, yeah.
I can't.
That's dangerous. You don't want to do that.
He's like, "I can't." He couldn't see. He said he couldn't see see John. It's like, yeah. I can't see. Like, so I mean, people are like, "Oh, he quit." And he didn't quit. Like, was he supposed to stand up?
Yeah,
like,
he can't see anyone.
Just die. Yeah, just get knocked out. Just
what
die.
What are you supposed to die?
No, nope, like, die in the ring or it doesn't count. Sorry, you're done.
That's stupid.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
It's crazy. A couple things I want to ask you. Some rumors. Did you ever fight like any one of your matches where you were pounding beers beforehand?
No. Never. Okay.
You heard that story, right?
Who told that story? Tito told that story to Dana.
Yeah.
Tito told Dana. Dana
was really trying to start.
I was at Cheetah's drinking the night before I lost to Randy. Mm-hmm. I was hurt. I mean, training for that. Like, that's why I was out of shape. But Randy's a great fighter. But I 100% was out drinking. Now, I used to take my buddies out the night before my fights all the time in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I take him out till 12 and I leave at 12 mm-hmm. and I wouldn't drink. I didn't drink for training camp. It was started training camp for me was 6 weeks. Then it was 8 weeks. Then it was like by the end of my
career. So Tito was just trying to talk shit.
He was talking shit. And like Dana to bite on Tito saying that, Tito's just being a shithead.
Yeah.
Like
Dana really knew. Dana was probably just using it.
He called me up and get mad. Like,
oh, really?
He called me up like, "Oh, dude, what are you doing? I heard you were doing that." I'm like, "Dude, come on, man. You know me better than that."
Yeah.
That's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I like to have a good time. I like to party. Like,
yeah, for sure.
When we party through till Monday, like mm-hmm. after fights. But before fights, I was all business. Mm-hmm. I had a diet. I wouldn't break my diet. I was training.
Your fucking nickname is the Iceman.
I was in training camp.
Yeah.
And I would know, go out, and the funny thing is, I'd go out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd go out and I'd stay sober, and they understood. Mm-hmm. I was single. I like to have a good time.
Right.
Yeah.
I like to go out and have a good time. I wasn't going to go 8 weeks without.
Yeah.
Without touching your ear. Yeah.
There
exactly.
There you go. Yeah, so, there it is. The fuck game is strong, dude. Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah, we addressed that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, right? We have to. And yeah, you start off with that. Since you brought up Tito, I'm going to bring up the 30 for 30. I just watched it with you and Tito. And you were unbelievably honest in that and very, very candid. And I'm curious of the process.
Look, man, I don't care. People ask me, like, there's things I don't talk about in public and stuff that just because there's no game in it. There's no, I don't really want to fight with people. I don't want to argue with you. Like, right. I will. And if asked questions, I usually answer them. I could tell people, I get asked all the time in interviews, is there anything we can't ask you? No. You can ask me anything you want. If I don't want to answer, I'll tell you. No.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man. I know how to say that. Yeah. And the other thing too is, like, I don't mind covering a lot of things, because if you really want to twist what I say and put it out somewhere, because that's been done too, and say something, I can defend myself. Mm. Like, I don't say anything. I'm not an asshole. I don't have any issues with me.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
But that's why I enjoyed it, because for me personally, right? You see these 30 for 30 things, it seems a little scripted. Some of your favorite heroes that you look, me personally, was like Ric Flair, right? I didn't really enjoy that 30 for 30 because I felt like there was more there. With you, I felt like you were so honest and raw about everything that was going on that as it kept going along, you're like, God damn, this is unbelievable. And I'd never heard you in a setting like that. What did you watch it, and what were your thoughts on it after it aired?
I did watch it. I thought they did a great job of covering a very, very expansive time and over. Now they did edit the thing. They were forced to edit about 15 minutes out of the show.
Well, what's missing?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. They never sent it to me.
But you knew what got recorded, right? Let's do.
I don't know what.
Well, because they do hours of interviews. Yeah.
I think most of the stuff that got cut out wasn't mine. I think it had to do with Tito.
Oh yeah, well he's.
That was my guess too.
He's been into a few things over the years.
But in the stuff that guy and that I mean, you know he because he's you know, he I think he has it was the, you know him and Dana going at it back and forth. It's kind of funny in there.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. They that's how he was actually. We were both managed by Dana before they bought the UFC. So.
It was weird back then. Yeah, for sure. Let's do the DraftKings thing.
Yes,
do that, and then we'll get into this fight card that's coming up because
absolutely, this is a big one. It's huge. And Chuck, you're one of those people that I get asked endless questions to.
Steve, well, of course, we could talk about this for all.
My God, man,
the next 3 years, and we will.
Yeah,
actually.
Dude. We will for a very long time. Yeah. But for these upcoming fights, we're gonna see if you still have it. I'm gonna see if you still have. Do you still watch UFC? Do you still feel confident in your picks? Sports gambling is huge now, Chuck.
Hey, look, here's my thing with my picks. Like I tell you, if you ask me to make a pick and let me go research the guys, I'll make a pick for you, and I'll be confident with it. But I watch fights differently, whether I'm watching it for fun or if I'm coaching.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So I would have to go back and watch. I'll have to watch. Give me the last three fights of both guys. Let me watch them. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who's going to win.
Okay.
I'll give you a pretty good. I used to be really good. I'd get 9 out of 10 usually. And the one I wouldn't get would be like my heart bet.
We've all got a heart bet.
Sure, I'd warn you, like that's a buddy of mine, but I think he's gonna win. He's like plus 300.
Giorgio does it all the time because he does our UFC show.
But he wins a lot of them too.
I'd like to see you two do a weekly show and get back into it full swing. Right now at DraftKings, the tournament is also in full swing. Best time to gamble.
Games so far have been crazy. 10 upsets already. It's wild.
Talk to me about Ohio State, bro. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I know you're on the ledge right now.
Tournament is in full swing, and the action hasn't disappointed. Again, the Ohio State thing has been miserable. I've gotten all of the things you can go ahead.
You should go out and get an Oral Roberts tattoo.
Send them to me. Yeah. We're close. I was on the ledge. I was very Epstein last night, where if somebody came in my cell and pushed me, I'd be like, all right, cool. So I wouldn't hang myself. But, you know, neither did Epstein. So, something else.
He needed a little help.
No.
We all need a little help.
Not only need a little help. But no, if in all sincerity, if you're at home and you're gambling on March Madness and UFC and all that stuff, go to DraftKings. The tournament is in full swing. The action has not disappointed, obviously. DraftKings Sportsbook, top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Turning $1 into $100 is, well, it's 101 odds.
That's
Dan.
A pretty good...
what it is.
Bet to make, yeah.
Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt. The shot of winning the title, and you can win $100. Basically, they're just giving you $100.
Yes.
Go for it. Go to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code BROS when you sign in to turn $1 into $100. If the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win, that's code BROS to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania. New customers only, D'Anthony, because a lot of people have, this is for our newbies out there.
Yeah, we got plenty of those.
Restrictions
too.
Apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. You got a gambling problem, go to 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
We get some other sponsors to help put this show on the air. In addition to DraftKings, we got GhostBed.com/DrinkerBros. GhostBed still get that President's Day sale going on, 40% off the bundle package. That's any of the mattresses with the adjustable base. You're going to get 40% off of that deal. Two free pillows as usual with all their deals. In addition to that, if you're not looking for the full package, you can go ahead and pick up anything on the site. 30% off at ghostbed.com/drinkerbros. You get the sheets, pillows. The pillows are the best. You get the mattress cover. You get the mattress, any of the stuff. Whatever you need, it's going to be 30% off. That extends to, firefighters, first responders of all kinds, firefighters, cops, nurses, teachers, government employees, etc. They're always going to take care of the people that take care of us. And, don't forget that 36-month pay-as-you-go program. You're not going to find that anywhere else in the world. And they've got a 20-year warranty on these mattresses. It's crazy, man. I mean, you hear us talk about it all the time. And the reason we keep talking about it is because we literally all own ghost beds. I've got three in my house. Jared's got three in his. Ross has got several in his as well. Everybody's got them. And we all use them because they're the best. Next up, we've got Babbel. As you know from listening to American Party and Drinker Bros, Dakota and I are learning Spanish right now at Babbel.com. So we can end up, sometime in the next 6 months or so doing a full show in Spanish on Patreon. So you guys can listen to that. Babbel is the number one selling language app, learning app online. It's the best. I like the way they break it down into 15-minute segments. So you can, when you first sign up and enter the program, it asks you about how much time you want to dedicate to it today, or a day rather. I would recommend, starting off light just so you can get the feel of it and then cranking it up later. But, look, if you're trying to challenge yourself, set those goals and do it. We talk about that stuff all the time. I chose Spanish because we live in Texas. And because, it's a really good universal language to learn, and it's a good baseline language if you're trying to learn other things. I enjoy the practical real-world examples. I enjoy how they intermittently will throw in a few refreshers. Like when you finish one course, it'll go two courses back and throw in a refresher from that course just to jog your memory on what you've been learning. It's awesome. It uses speech recognition technology as well. So very good in helping with pronunciation. Some of the other apps in the past have tried to use this stuff and it didn't really work that well because their software wasn't great. But, aside from having to go out and have a conversation with somebody else to practice your language, which I do recommend doing, this is a really good way to make sure your pronunciation's on point. So they got 14 different languages, Spanish, French, Italian, German, plenty of other ones. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Let's go to Babbel, BABBEL.com, and use the promo code DRINKITBROS. That's BABBEL.com, code DRINKITBROS for an extra 3 months for free. Babbel, language for life.
With that being said, I'm gonna test your knowledge.
Well, I'll be right back.
Oh, look, are you going to cheat?
No, my phone's right there.
Are you going to cheat? Yeah. If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. I understand, Chuck. Look, is he going to talk to somebody privately? I think he's talking to Giorgio off camera about making some picks right now.
He's a friend.
So here's the thing. Giorgio, put this on my shot. Is this on a two on us over here? There you go. Here's my honest opinion, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we put him on the spot. I think he's looking at some cheat sheets with Giorgio out there, looking at some cards and some other bullshit. And that's fine, Chuck. Like, do what you want. Do what you want. However, you're off camp. I'm going to ask fucking Giorgio, obviously, what his picks are. Like, this is going to be a fucking
thing. I think they're probably going to be the same. I talked to Chuck before the show about all these, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be the same.
How confident do you feel?
I feel pretty confident in all these fights, actually.
Do you?
Well, except for...
I never know in Stipe's fight. I never know.
The first fight, Malarkey versus Worthy, I don't know about that one.
Boy.
I just don't know either one of those guys well enough to pick. I'd like to hear what Giorgio thinks.
Yeah,
about that.
We'll get him in here in a second. But, dude, whenever Stipe's fighting, I have the hardest time with it.
It's a hit or miss with that guy.
It is.
Sure, but
who did you go and ask for picks for out there? Is it Tito? Yeah. Did you call Tito?
Yeah, I said, oh, bro, Jackson, he's good. No, I asked him how to talk. Have you seen his... have you seen any of those videos?
Oh, yeah.
He's sending me from the city council.
It's bad. Why does he want to do it? Why does he want to do it? I just don't get it.
But, like, did you see when he got it? My favorite is still the, where they were reading him, they're swearing him in.
Yeah.
They're reading to him. He sounded like Jim Carrey from Liar Liar.
Yeah.
Like, you're repeating like three words the person said to you. How did you mess that one up?
Why does he want to do it? I don't get any of it. The whole thing is confusing.
Are you not running for city council?
You're very on brand, like nonstop. And it's like, that's the way it should be. You're the guy we grew up with. And now you're the same guy. Like, you haven't changed.
Let's get Chuck for city council, man.
Exactly. Why not? Yeah. Why not?
He just punches problems in the face.
Yes. We're going to get your picks now. Right, I'll see if you still have it.
Okay. Damn picks. Okay. Look, first off, I haven't watched the fights like that in a long time because I'm not coaching. I'm not trying to break fights down. But. I'll be happy to do it. But I need to know the odds and what are the prop bets to go with those fights.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what I would go for because when I bet fights, I look for guys that are getting good odds.
Right.
That are
value picks. Yes.
Value picks. Yep. Because I mean for me, like, or someone I know is gonna kick the guy's ass is not that favored.
Yeah.
And I'm not having to pay $300 to get 100.
Right.
I'm looking for guys that, you know, the value picks, like the guys that or a guy that has a really good shot. The guy's a 2.5 underdog that has a shot to win, has a good shot to win. That's the value bets. I mean, you got to go value bets.
You know where I learned that? One of the guys on the undercard, Sean O'Malley. I got fucking house, and he was a huge favorite, and I shouldn't have bet him, and I did, and it is what it is. First up, we got...
Because the risk is too high. If something crazy does happen, you got to go for
McGregor took my legs out, dude. I bet it all on McGregor.
If you got a heavy favorite, you got to go with... You really got like heavy favorites. I usually do parlays. Like get a couple of other guys underneath it to make it at least worth something.
Yeah,
so if I hit all three or four, I make something big. You know,
I forced Giorgio into a parlay last time because we do these live UFC watch-alongs, and he hit. So I have nothing but gratitude for you, Giorgio. The first fight's here, and we go the big ones, not the prelims. Is Malarkey versus Worthy. Malarkey is at +125. Worthy is at -150 here. Who you got in this one?
I really haven't seen them fight much. I think I've seen them fight maybe once. Mm-hmm. So,
Malarkey's 12-4 and Worthy is 7-0 right now.
What are the odds on that fight?
You know,
120 +125 and then -150. So you're looking close. Worthy's the favorite.
I'm looking at sometimes a guy like with a 7-0, he's a favorite, like slight favorite, but they're trying to build him, so they're probably giving him somebody who's got a really good shot at beating.
Yeah.
So I might go with that.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way,
Malarkey's young too. He's 26.
What I'm saying, I don't know why. That one was the one where I was going, why is that on the main card?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That says I'm trying to... Because Malarkey... If he's on the main card, that means they're trying to build him. They're matching him up with someone they think he can beat. Now, not saying the guy that he's fighting is not a good fighter.
Right.
Because it's a UFC. You got to be a good fighter to be in there.
Right,
yeah.
But But he's, well, unless you're, well, I won't say that.
No, say it. No, say it.
Anyway, I'm not saying anything. No. He's a nice guy.
Ooh, what's his name?
No, you're not gonna know.
What's his name? Is he white or black?
Anyway, so I'll take the guy.
Malarkey is 26 years old, too. Yeah. If you can get a guy like that on a stretch, then you can ride him for a while, right?
Yeah, that's what they're trying to build. I think they're trying to build him.
And I think that's probably right. So I've got Malarkey in this fight. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good bet to make.
Yeah, well, look, it's plus 125, so you're fine either way. Well, it's not crazy odds.
Minus 150, that's fine. I would go with that. I mean, I think if I had to pick, I don't know him well enough.
Right.
Watching him wise, but if I had to pick just on situation and looking at that the way things work,
right? Yeah, yeah.
I apologize. Sense. Worthy is 16-7. I apologize. Yeah, yeah. He's 16-7-0.
He's fought a life. He's 34 years old.
Yes.
This to me is a Cowboy Cerrone versus McGregor thing. They're trying to fucking pump this dude up, giving him somebody that's a good fighter, yep. Well known, but yep. Also somebody he can beat.
I've got Malarkey in this one. Yeah. Giorgio, who do you got?
Yeah,
Malarkey. He's got Malarkey. Okay.
Now the next guy is Sean O'Malley.
Now this is the guy I lost all my shit on.
You've seen him fight, but that wasn't
12-1.
To me, that one is an asterisk, right? Because he got hurt there. Obviously, hurt from the very first.
16-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That changes everything.
It was correct. It was. You Malarkey is. And I knew what you meant on that one. So
yeah.
We're all across the board on that one.
Sean O'Malley, he's got one.
Sean O'Malley is where I lost a lot of money.
I'm worried he's coming back too fast. Like you were talking about the first time you fought Randy, you had that MCL tear, and not being able to train as hard as you normally train for guys that. It doesn't matter if you're 100% healthy at the fight.
They still have Sean O'Malley at minus 300 against Alameda.
I like Sean O'Malley in this fight, but I don't know if I would.
I'm not betting
minus 300.
Why would you do that?
I don't like that. I don't like those odds.
No, that's 1-3 odds. Why the fuck would you take that? You can't make any money.
Honestly, with plus 240, you might want to. I mean, you might take a stab.
Just in case he's still hurt or winded or whatever the fuck, right? Yeah.
Value pick.
That's a value pick. I'll take Almeida. I'm gonna take him. Yeah.
Whoa, who do you got, Georgia? Oh, you're Sean O'Malley.
I think
O'Malley will win, but I'm gonna
bet. Sean O'Malley's gonna win, so I'd stay. Yeah. And I'd stay away with the odds. I'd stay away from it, but. If you want to do so, if you feel like you're feeling like
what'd you say it is 250
to like rolling the dice
minus 300 for minus O'Malley 300? Yeah I'm gonna throw a little cash in Almeida
I don't believe
in Sean O'Malley after that last fight
believe in him still
well, now that's, you're mad now you're gonna double down on
yes
getting, dude getting beat
and
up.
Fuck yeah. Him like he needs to know that yes dude
double down on getting beat up
yes
you get beat up
no I think
O'Malley will probably what is
you spent too much time in your hair not enough time on your legwork and it's all over
what's coming back. They're smart enough to bring
plus 240.
And now I'm thinking like a promoter trying to make a good matchup that you want to. You don't want to lose Sean O'Malley. He's an exciting fighter.
No.
You're going to bring in somebody that to get him warm back up.
Just in case he is still hurt. I'm going to put $100 in Almeida. I mean, it's plus 240. Why not?
Value pick, baby.
Yeah, it's a good bet because I lose 200, but I might win 240 if I bet. On Sean O'Malley, and if he loses, I'm going to lose way more money than that. Because I have to spend more money to make that money.
Yes.
So fuck that.
Yes.
Yeah. He's probably going to win, though. O'Malley will probably win.
Next up is Tyrone Woodley. This card is stacked, by the way.
Yeah, he's 38 years old, though.
Oh, Giorgio's having a hard time with this right now. He is a UFC messiah. No one's doubting your ability, Giorgio. And if we weren't in a tiny, tiny place...
You think
Tyrone's going to lose
look, his last couple of fights, the problem with Tyrone is he's not pulling. He won't pull the trigger.
Yeah,
Like he's gotten gun shy. Like he's not pulling the trigger. If he found a way to go out there and fight again,
yeah, just come out. Swing.
If he found a way to come out and start fighting again,
yeah,
like exploding the way he has the ability, he has the explosiveness, he has the technique there, but. If he can't get out of his own head and because he just seems like he's just frozen.
It looks to me like he's loading up on that back arm and he's just waiting for that perfect shot. The perfect shot never comes.
Yeah, and it just seems like he just doesn't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten gun shy. So
and he's 38 years old too, though, right?
Yeah. Well, that maybe you know, as a guy, maybe he relied a lot on speed and. That sometimes becomes, and that's one of the first things to go.
Yeah,
the speed goes before power. So
I'm with you. I think Woodley loses. What about you, Georgia?
Yeah,
Yeah.
What's the spread on this?
So with Woodley, it's +220. So I mean, he is a heavy underdog in this one.
Well, that's correct.
Yes, and so I think this is probably one of his last fights.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not betting this. Yeah. At all.
Luque.
There's no way to make money on this fight, to be honest.
Well,
gambling wise,
it's -270. Yeah, and I wouldn't bet on Woodley. That's too risky.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Volkanovski
and Ortega.
Versus Ortega. Yeah,
this is a really good fight. This might be the best fight of the night. Technical.
Yeah,
it should be a good fight.
Yeah, Stipe and Ngannou is going to be a good fight one way or the other. But this is probably the best technical matchup in the fucking card.
The warning. I'm a fan of Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
I like the guy in real life. Yeah. And so, I want him to win. They match up pretty good. And
they
I'm just hoping. I'm hoping he comes out there.
Nobody has any huge advantage in age or reach or height or any of that stuff. They both have similar records, although Volkanovski's got more fights. This is the best fight.
That's gonna be a great fight.
What's the odds on this?
Ortega's 15-1. Volkanovski's 22-1. Volkanovski is -180, so he's the favorites. Ortega's +155.
If I was gonna bet,
that's probably right. I'd take Ortega on that bet because +180. Well, you gotta spend 1.8 times more dollars to make the same amount.
I understand, but I'm going with who wins in this life on this one. I'm going with Volkanovski. Giorgio, who do you got? He's got Volkanovski as well. Yes. We got a 2-2 matchup here on this set. So this is more the reason why you should watch it.
Yeah.
We are split. Now we got the main event, Stipe versus
Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, man.
Ngannou is straight out of the sand mines. I mean, what the fuck, man? I didn't know that was a thing, first of all.
A sand mine?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. This guy is an animal.
Yes.
He is a goddamn monster. I'm sure his fists are the size of a fucking lunchbox. But he's still got to make contact at some point.
Yeah.
The problem is Stipe, as talented as he is, I can't tell which Stipe shows up to which fight.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
He's sponsored by Killcliff, actually, so maybe that'll help him out.
Well, congrats on all that, and that's great, and so are we. Yeah. But here's what I'll say on that. Like, when you're a first responder, firefighter, and that's your job, because he's still working there, to my knowledge, right? Do you get to train as much as somebody like this who's doing this full time? Like, I don't know who's going to show up for this. Oh boy, the odds on this are -130 for Francis. Francis is the favorite here, and only +110 for Stipe. So Vegas has it as a close fight.
Yeah,
pretty much a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Francis on this one. I'm not gonna
look to either way. There'll be a good fight. Stipe will have to dominate him pretty good to win this fight. And I don't know if that'll happen, but Ngannou is gonna knock him out probably. Right? You got to think that's gonna happen.
Oh, Giorgio's shaking his head. Who do you got? You got Stipe in this?
You had 25 minutes. What do you think has changed? You've already seen this for 25 minutes. Will he land? He has another 25 minutes to land a right hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to do it.
We'll see.
So you're all in on Stipe.
I got Stipe, okay. Too.
You're all in on Stipe, too. Yeah. No shit.
That's your heart bet.
Yes,
though,
it is. That's my heart bet because I love guys like you and him where it's like,
I want to see a knockout.
Knock some people out, dude. Let's crush some skulls in there.
Yeah, well, no, but he's got to land. He's got to land that punch.
Yeah.
He's got to come out. But he has to come out and start throwing. He's got to throw some combinations. He's got to.
Something.
Ngannou sometimes gets stuck in just trying to land that one big punch.
If you're good.
Technical fighter, it's hard to land that one big punch when that's all you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's like someone coming out and saying, I'm going to head kick you.
Okay, Stipe definitely is.
You keep trying to head kick me. You have no shot at head kicking me.
Right.
If you make it look like something, you start beating up someone's legs, you make it look like a leg kick and then kick a guy in the head, that works, right?
Yeah.
But you got to set it up. If you're not setting it up against and Stipe is a technical enough boxer.
He's very
good.
It's hard.
It's going to be hard to land that big right hand if that's all you're doing.
Right.
Well, you got to think
Ngannou learned that's the last fight, though, right?
Yeah.
He might have, and that'd be a great transition.
He has to do is add one other element to shake that up. Then he can, land that. If he can land that right hand, it's over, right? Stipe is now 38 years old, which is a little long in the tooth for a fighter. I don't know, man. Like, Steve is a very good technical fighter. To see a heavyweight that's a great technical fighter like that is not the most common thing.
But what Giorgio was saying, I think in the last UFC fight we watched, You got him to the ground, the big pole. You know, I love the poles.
Ngannou knows that just as well as Stipe does. So he's, I would assume his camp is like, well, we can't do that again.
That's I hope so. I'm going with Francis in this. You guys have Stipe all the way around?
I think Stipe's going to win, but I would prefer, not that I don't like Stipe. I love the guy. He's a fucking great fighter. I enjoy watching him fight, actually. He's one of the guys that's technical that's also not boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. But to see Ngannou, remember back in the late 90s when I was like, I would love to see Randy Johnson throw his fastest fastball and see Mark McGwire hit it as hard as he could and see where it lands. Yeah. I want to see Francis Ngannou really make contact with somebody, some real heavyweight's face, and to see what happens. Split half his head in half. That's what I want to see every single fight, dude.
Same.
Every single fight. So, I mean, my heart bet would say Ngannou, but there's no way he's going to win this fight. Unless he's made some radical fucking movement towards a technical skill like that, it's probably not going to happen, right? Stipe's a very polished guy.
Yeah, Stipe's very polished, and I don't know. Like, I'm sure Ngannou's been working. He's going to get just adding some combinations.
He's got to set up more, and he can trick Stipe. Then the heavyweight division's in fucking trouble. if that monster can fucking start learning additional skills, everybody, even at 34, everybody's in serious trouble because he's one of the most athletic human beings I've ever seen.
Yeah,
he's a big boy.
He is a massive human.
Reminds me a lot of myself.
No, you were trying to get involved in his sex life earlier. What are you talking about?
Well, the audience needs to know that Chuck's
look at him. You can tell he's had the same haircut since '92. You don't. People that don't fuck have to change their haircut from time to time.
I understand, right? But that's important for the audience.
This guy's had it for 30 goddamn years.
It's important for the audience to know that his fuck game is still strong, so don't ask me anymore. Chuck Liddell's fuck game is strong. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the crossover fights that are happening now. Who do you have? Ben Askren, MMA fighter, versus Jake Paul, the YouTuber. Like,
well, I think Jake Paul made the best decision he can make if he's going to fight a UFC fighter. It fits a guy that Ben Askren, who's not a striker, but I think he underestimated Askren's chin. Mm. I mean, Askren went with Robbie Lawler, nailed him quite a few times, didn't hurt him too bad. And Robbie Lawler hits really hard.
Yeah, getting flying knee in the head is the same thing.
And you got to understand, he's a wrestler like him, Ben Askren. Mm-hmm. When they shoot, he shoots really hard. Like, there's a lot of force behind that shot. Yeah. I mean, the first time I got hit by double leg by an Olympic guy, wrestler, like a really high end wrestler, almost like it struck you in the stomach, right?
Yeah.
So you're going that hard after guy running across the ring doing that. And he's running across the ring and throwing a flying knee.
Yeah.
There's a lot of force that collided. Yeah. That's like one of those Bugs Bunny. Explosions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't think he's going to be easy to knock out. That's not going to. Yeah. That's not gonna, and he will be in shape. I don't think he'll have problems doing the 8 rounds. Mm. So he seems like he plans on winning. But like if I was Jake, I had to pick somebody, that probably be the guy I pick, maybe, because he's probably
shit.
He's not known for being a striker. But see, the thing
is, you just don't want to get knocked out, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. People don't realize with wrestlers. Mm. Wrestlers, they usually don't have a great straight right. They usually don't have a great jab. But when they start throwing wide, like body, like hooks, like if you catch them, they got power because they have that core body strength. And I teach guys, they got power if you get them winging those hooks.
Yeah.
So he gets caught by one of those, he might not like it very much. But I would love it.
What does it do to the MMA community if a YouTuber knocks out Ben Askren?
Nothing. You just knocked out a wrestler.
Yeah.
Mm. What's it do? What's that say? So you can beat, who are you going to beat? Pick a striker. He'll come in and destroy you.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, if it was you in the ring with him, would you beat Jake Paul in a boxing match? Straight up boxing.
Straight up boxing. I will tear his head off.
I'd pay to see that. I'd pay that pay-per-view any day of the week. Any day.
So at your age, all the things, you would tear his head off.
Stick to fighting guys that aren't boxers, that aren't strikers. He'll be fine. other celebrities, basketball players, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever
you're playing, stick to those guys. The guys are...
That's amazing because the odd thing about it is we're forced to cover it because it's become such a story, and the pay-per-view numbers are massive on it.
But, and
would you do
more
it?
More power to them. Yeah, good like, for them. Look good for them. Like, I ain't mad at anybody. Like, if someone wants to, I'm not a big fan of watching a lot of things. Yeah. But if other people want to watch it and they want to get paid, and guys are getting paid, and hey, Ben Askren's getting a big paycheck for it, great. Yeah, like, hey, if he wants to go fight, fine. And I think Jake's going to be a little surprised when he gets out there. He's expecting less of a fight.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he can go out there and knock him out because he got knocked out. Getting knocked out by that does not qualify as you having a weak chin. And standing in front of Robbie Lawler lets me know you don't have a weak chin.
That dude.
Robbie took some abuse from Robbie without and didn't go down.
That was one of the
almost,
better.
Almost, but I did.
Well, so let's say this, right? Jake Paul wins. Chuck gets the call to fight him in another fight. What do you do?
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Why not? He's an amateur boxer.
Yeah.
At
right.
best.
Yeah, for sure.
So for someone like you, how long would you need to train for somebody like that?
Well, I would, if I've been a fight, I'll train. I would train as long as they gave me, but I'll fight him right now. Like I'm in bad shape. I'll go out there and fight him right now if he wants to.
Let's just go over to Jake Paul's house right quick because he lives here in L.A.
No, he's just moved to Miami because he has been training. And, like, look, he said numerous times, like, this is my profession. This is what I want to do because he's a young kid. He's, like, 23 years old, I think.
And you can get good. I mean, take time. And, I mean, if he was an athlete, I guess.
You heard it here first. If he beats Ben, Chuck is ready to fight him next, and he will get in with virtually zero training.
And then tear his head off.
And tear off the head of Jake Paul, which would be a blast to see because, let's face it, this is what all of this has become, right? It has become the biggest social media stars, the biggest celebrities of all time. And, like, look, dude, you're everyone's favorite, including, shit, man, we watched the UFC card, 2 weeks ago, Giorgio? And they were still doing promos of you for UFC, you were still cut into the footage during the commercial breaks, for Christ's sake,
some of that
to promote the UFC.
Some of that shit you did back then was slick. Nobody had ever seen a guy push out, or like sprawl out, and then left hook a guy right quick and then start clobbering him. No. Usually guys throw knees or they try to push off or they try to lock in or take down. I think you might have been the first to do shit like that. It was really exciting.
I would pay all the money to see you watch Jake Paul. Like, that would be fucking awesome.
Well, let him know. I'm not afraid of getting paid.
Chuck Liddell is not afraid of getting paid. This is the point in the show where you get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helps you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, inspired me. I was actually talking to Rob Dyrdek the other day, and he inspires me. Like, his transition from what he was doing before to what he's doing now with
becoming an entertainer, like a real entertainer.
From being an athlete to an entertainer now to
VC stuff.
And he's I mean, his attitude and his way of thinking and moving and it's a weird transition when you retire from fighting. And I know a lot of athletes, in different sports, snowboarding, football, baseball. It's a really weird transition when you're done, you know. To all of a sudden, you used to have like this big, you know, guiding force for me. Mm-hmm. It was always I want to be world champion.
Right.
And then it was I want to show everyone I'm the best in the world. Like, I always had that there, controlling stuff and making sure I'm not doing something too stupid something to control me, and kind of directing me. And then all of a sudden, you don't have that anymore. And it's the first time you're kind of like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah,
and for me, I did a lot of good things, and I have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
It's just, which one do I do? Like, I would go there a little bit, go there, I don't know, what do I do? So, a lot of guys struggle with that, especially the guys that were athletes that didn't have enough afterwards.
There's a lot of them.
Now they're done, and they had this fame, they had this stuff, but now they...
Now they're working a nine to five.
They got to live. They got to do, and they struggle with that mentally. So, you know, I talked to him recently and about it, all that stuff. And it was really inspiring to hear his version of it, the way he thought of it. And something I believe all the time is find something else that you love doing. But the biggest blessing I had is I love fighting. Mm-hmm. I love my job like that. So moving on, you got to love what you do. Enjoy what you do. People ask me, are you going to keep doing movies? I love doing movies. Mm-hmm. I have fun doing it. I'm actually learning how to act, learning how to do fight scenes because it's different.
Choreographing something, showing, making
a fight look good on TV is not the same as fighting.
Right.
You know,
that punch is 8 inches away. Yeah.
Yeah. But that one looks better than the one when we do it. Where I'm tapping you because I can't hit you as hard as I normally hit you. If I tap you and you're like, if I hit you as hard as I can, we're not going to have too many takes. You know, we have to be one take wonders. As long as it keeps being fun. Yeah, I like doing it.
Rob's doing it right though. I mean, he took some early commercial success and turned it into entertainment with Ridiculousness at a couple other shows, right?
And now he's the only show on MTV. Now he's doing investing, right?
That's the process, right?
Investing company has been huge for him.
Like, and he's a good dude too. He's a great person.
I love that guy.
I'd like to see a list of all the charities he donates to because we've worked with one of his charities in the past. He gives a fuck ton of money away. He gives it away, but that's good. That's a good call. I like that one.
Yeah, he's, every time I turn on MTV, he's on 24 hours a day. It's pretty much his
network. When he sold that show, like how many episodes, when they sold a bunch of episodes, he was like, I was actually trying to get out because I didn't want to turn into that old guy on MTV.
Well, he still looks young and it's cool.
He's cool anyway. But then they bought this many episodes. But then he was like, well, I go and shoot them this day.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and then I take a week off. And then I go back and do them Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I go again and do all these episodes.
It's entertaining. And it's free money, basically.
It's great. Although I've been on that show a couple of times, just fucking laugh my ass off. Who thought of that? That was great. Like, look it up something on the internet and just make fun of it.
That's right? It. That's all it is. A friend of ours, Brendan Schaub, is on there quite a few times as well. And he goes, dude, it's a blast. They shoot a bunch in a row. And they're on every single day of the week. On the flight here, we were on, I think it was JetBlue. We saw 9 people watching Ridiculousness in front of us in a row. And it was like, I mean, it was 80 channels to choose from, but they always gravitate towards that for some reason.
It's good, man.
So that's great. Well, look, me personally, I'd like to hear you doing more podcasts and everything. So
yeah,
all right.
Foreboding.
Foreboding.
A little foreshadowing.
Coming soon. Coming to you soon.
Coming soon. Chuck Liddell, it's a pleasure, man.
Yeah, man, great.
You're like one of my favorites again. Favorite since as a fucking young bouncer at Ohio State, dude. Kevin Randleman rolling around. Tearing people's faces
all the way
off.
To the 65-year-old senior citizen he is.
No, 33 years old. Young man.
You're 33 and a fucking time machine, bitch.
I can still punch, though, man. You know, I Chuck, do I need to sleep, you do? Do I need to fucking sleep?
That's what we need.
You know, you never know, though, with people. Like, I won't mention names, but like, guys, I hold mitts for their athletes, football players, some of them. I was with one guy, I know I'm holding mitts for him.
Sure.
And he's a football player, NFL football player. And he said, hold on, I'm like, come on, man, hit it hard. And he's just going, look, man, quit dogging it, hit it harder. And I said, hit it hard. I'm like, oh, shit. This guy's never been in a fight before. Yeah, he's trying to hit this as hard as he can. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But then, a guy I was working with, Kyle Long.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I go holding mitts for him. Jesus Christ, what the fuck was that?
He's a big human being.
Yeah, he can crack, man.
Yeah.
Is that Howie's son? Howie's son, right?
He recently retired, but I mean, dude. Yeah, dude.
He was that man, he's one of those guys, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, good. Okay, all right, I'm good.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, for me personally, I was always wise of like, all right, man, if you look at people, you think you might lose, you probably might. Let's not fucking do it. And I'm not one of those heroes either. It was going to be like, oh man, there's Chuck Liddell. Fuck him. He's got to be
if you see a snake and it's got a rattler on it, just walk the fuck away.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I used to have buddies just ask me, like, how do you walk in a bar and like size up a guy and say, why the fuck would I do that? No, like, I don't want to fight anybody.
I'm
like,
not getting paid
and
for
by
it.
The way, and by the way, if they don't, if they commit a fighting offense, I don't care. I'm going to fight them anyway.
Yeah.
Whether they kick my ass or not. So who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Funny one on that one. We walking into Babies a long time ago, back when and the guy's like, okay, walking in. I want you to know, Tito's in there. We're not going to have a problem, right? I look at him. You got $2 million.
No way. So no. Wait. So Tito was in there.
He had a table inside.
Is that guy serious? Because if you guys had gotten fighting his bar, it'd be the most famous bar of all time.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Do you have $2 million?
Yeah.
No. So no. Well then.
No.
We're not fighting. I'm gonna go drink in there. I came here to drink and do some other things.
Yeah. Of course. Of course. Of course. Chuck, thank you for being here. It was a blast. Can't wait to see this card this weekend. For Chuck Liddell, D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.